So let's go into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your beautiful grace, Lord God. Oh, Father, we are just so grateful, Lord God, that you are faithful, Lord. Even as we see the seasons change, Lord God, we are thankful, Lord God, because it's a commitment to your promise that as long as the earth remains, you said there will be summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. So we thank you. Again, it shows your faithfulness. Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to come and move with us and walk with us and talk with us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I pray that your word would come forth and that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that you sent it forth to do in each and every heart. We thank you and we praise you and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dean, for closing that door. And we're going to get started today, and we are on session 7, guys. So we're moving along on our book here, Battle Plan for Prayer. If those of you that don't have the book, this is the book, Battle Plan for Prayer. We can get it up on Amazon. I believe it does have it. I don't know if our local bookstore has it, Greatest Gifts. Kindle, you can get it in Kindle too, so that's wonderful. So wonderful, wonderful book to have in your library when it comes to prayer. So today we are on session 7, which is What Are God's Answers to Prayer? And this is really a really hot topic, because these are some of the things that we ask sometimes when we don't, you know, when we don't feel prayers are answered or not the way we want them to be. So let's just dive into this and let's just talk about it. I thought they brought up some really good points in the book. And our key scripture is Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Wow. Yeah. That's our key scripture today. And boy, yeah, isn't it wonderful how when the Lord confirms that he's talking. I sought the Lord and he answered me. I know this morning I'm just walking down the hall and the church is praying over somebody. And Brother Carlos stopped me. He said, whatever you're praying for, sister, God told me to tell you he's answering that prayer. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. God hears and God sees. There is never a prayer that God does not hear. Okay, don't ever think. And we're going to get into that too. But today we're going to talk about what are God's answers to prayer. So as we start at the top of this lesson, it says God answers prayer. Let's start right there. This is not just a slogan, and this is from the book on page 48. Jesus said, everyone who asks receives, and that's Matthew 7:8. But if this is true, why are so many people still waiting on their request from God? So we want to really talk about this. Let's get real. You know, let's just get real. I love this. I love getting real with the word of God and what it's saying. It goes on to say, because even as a loving father filters the requests of his children, God considers our requests through the lens of his perfect will. Often he responds with something that will prove to be far better than what we've been waiting, than what we've been wanting, I should say. From the book, it says that. So let's talk about that just for a minute. God requests our trust. He requests us to trust him. He says that, trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. God requests that we trust him. He knows how it, and one thing I know about God, he knows how important it is that you trust him and no other. Or trust him over anybody else. We can say it that way. Answers to prayer is one way in which he teaches you trust. Waiting before the Lord day after day, you may have a request. It's not an empty time. I want you to just to really drive that home. If you're waiting on God for something, it is not an empty time, as the enemy would try to tell us sometimes. It is a time of trust development in you when you're waiting before the Lord. Don't waste this time. You know, be before God in this time. Therefore, you praise him as you wait. You love him as you wait. You believe him as you wait. And you declare his word as you wait. It's a beautiful time when you're waiting on the Lord. And it's developing something in you. Don't let the enemy tell you it's just empty time where nothing's happening. Oh, something's happening, folks. It's happening in you. And that's what you need to understand. And God knows what's happening. So God is requesting that we trust him. And prayer is a way, waiting on him To answer a prayer is a way that we develop our trust. The next point on the lesson, it says, then sometimes the answers to your request is no. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. God answers. And we're going to talk about the no a lot, because that's I think, is some of our major issues with this. Sometimes the answer to your request is no. God answers, not that, my child, because God knows it would do you irreparable harm. Some things will do you irreparable harm. I mean, you would have a hard time bouncing back from some of the things that you ask for. God always answers prayer, though. He always answers, but sometimes it's no. I have found that even when the answer is no, he will minister to you concerning his response. And I love that. He doesn't have to. He can just say no and just, that's it. But God is good in that he often will minister to you concerning why he said no. It's wise to be open to what God is ministering to you at such times and not shut down your heart due to disappointment. That's what we tend to do. When God says no, we shut down on God due to our disappointment. He's always loving you in his response to your prayers. And if you keep your heart open, he will minister wisdom to you beyond your previous understanding. But you have to keep your heart open. Even as others receive. See, that's the hard part. Others are receiving around you the very thing you asked for. Others are receiving what you requested. And God will minister to you even as that happens. He is a personal God. Okay, you got to understand, God is a personal God, and he ministers to you when you need growth, when you need development, to each and every one of us individually, okay? And that's what we've got to understand. You see everybody being blessed around you. I remember going through that, and everyone's blessed but me, you know, but God had me in a waiting place for a reason, because he had to minister some things to me. That person was ready, but I wasn't. You know, and God had to minister these things. He does not treat us like a herd of cattle. That's what they got blessed. You know, my best friend got blessed. But he treats us as individuals living distinct lives according to his plan. He takes all of his children and he creates a beautiful tapestry of our lives together. You know, as we see us working together, and we have different blessings, we have different gifts, we have different talents, and God takes it all and he moves it together. So for some of us, it's going to be a no. For some of us, it's going to be a wait. And some of us, it's going to be a yes. So we've got to understand his answer to prayer. You can get a handout at the back of the table right there. There's two handouts for you to grab. And you've got to understand what God is doing. Perhaps you wanted to be a flower in the tapestry. I mean, your friend was a flower, so why can't I be a flower? We want to be a flower in the tapestry. And God says, no, I don't want you to be a tapestry. I've called you to be a golden cord that connects the flowers. Oh, hallelujah. You got to see what God is doing. Oh, he calls you to be the golden cord. You know, yes, I know your buddy was a flower, but honey, God, your relationship with God supersedes your relationship with your buddy, with your best friend. We got to get past that. You know, people that are just joined at the hip, and whatever happens to her happens to me. You've got to get past that, because you are God first. And he has called you to be what he has called you to be, and you will be happy with it. I tell you, you'll have joy over what he called you to be. You don't want to be what he made Betsy. You want to be what he made you to be. So the answer no does not mean denial. It means God has something else for you. And beloved of the Lord, he always has something else for you. There's always something else. He didn't just put you on the shelf and forget you, as the enemy will tell you. He has something else for you. God always got something going on. So we have to learn to embrace no's. When God says no, you learn to embrace it. And you learn to even thank you. Lord, it didn't happen, but I thank you, because I know. I know you're taking care of me and loving me and protecting me. Oh, God, thank you for protecting me from not getting what I asked for, you know, because he's also protecting you. Psalm 84:11 in your lesson says, No good thing would he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So let's take this apart. make this your declaration, even when the answer is no. No good thing would he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Often we focus on the first part of this verse. No good thing would he withhold. And we want to walk right there. Go. Let's just go. We're going to move on. And not the second part, which is walk uprightly. That's a part of it. Because we are all sinners, saved by grace and not merit, many of our requests to God are tainted by selfishness. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. We are a mess. We were born a mess. And many of our requests are tainted by selfishness, anger sometimes, revenge sometimes, greed sometimes, and downright immaturity sometimes. Just immature. Our requests may lack love for all, generosity, and wisdom. Some of the things we ask God for. We are engulfed in our emotions sometimes and desperate when we make requests from God, seeing only the moment we are in and wanting relief. This is not meant to be an insult to us. It is just the way we are, as we are born and raised in a world, and we live in a world of sin. That's just the way we are, guys. We were born selfish. Just look at an infant. You know, infant is not thinking about anybody else, but themselves. Wah-wah, feed me. Wah-wah, change me. Wah-wah, pick me up. You know, it's all about them. That's how we come into the world. We learn as we grow up to be giving and to be considerate. So we have to understand how we come into the world. When we come to God, we're back to babies again. You know, when it comes to God, understanding the ways of God, we're back to babies again. So sometimes we don't know what to request. The scripture says you don't know how to pray as you are. So the Holy Spirit has to make intervention for you, you know, because we don't even know what to pray. So many times when we're praying, we fail to access the Word of God when we pray. I love Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word, because it's so true. You got to learn how to pray what's in the Word of God. And sometimes we don't want to access the Word of God because we don't want to pray what it says. We don't want to love our enemies. I don't want to love them right now. So I don't want to pray to love them, you know. And so we put the Word of God aside and just pray what we want, because we want what we want. You know, and on your handout, I gave you a handout that we're going to go through right now. And it's Psalm 139. And I want you to hear David. Now, this is King David. This is a man after God's own heart. Okay, so you know how much God loved David and what a good relationship we had. But hear his prayer in Psalm 139, 19 through 24. This is what he prayed. He said, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly." Like he's advocating for God. Like, they speak against you wickedly. "Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred." You know I always say that. There it is. That's where you'll find them. "I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God." See, I love this part. See, I love David. He vents and he tells God what's truly in there. He just lets his emotions out with God. I love that. He's so honest and so true with God. And then 23, he takes a turn. There's a shift at 23, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." So he know he was acting on his emotions. I read these verses, I'm like, David. But he was acting in his emotions, but he comes back to God. See, that's why he was called a man after God's own heart, because even after he did and said all his stuff, he always came back and said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How do you go from venting like he was venting to this? Oh, the Holy Spirit and the conviction. And you feel it, and God will say, "Hey, I love everybody. Why aren't you praying for those people?" Oh, and he goes, "Oh, search me. Search me." I believe the Lord touched his heart right then, and he shifted to asking the Lord, "I'm going to stop talking about them, and Lord, search my heart. because there's something going on in me. If I hate people with a perfect hatred, there's something wrong in me. I'm not praying that you deliver them or help them. I'm praying that you kill them and take them off the planet. That's what he's praying. Send them to hell right now, God. And then he gets to 23 and he says, search me. Oh, can we pray such prayers? Yeah, you can vent to God. You can tell God all, just what you think and how you feel about everybody. But hopefully you'll get to verse 23 and say, search me and know my heart. See, and it's backed up by Matthew, the other verse on here, Matthew 5, 43 and 48. And Jesus said this. You have heard it said, love your enemies and hate your... You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And there it is right there. You want to be a believer? You call yourself a child of God? Well, there it is right there. So you may be children. You got to love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And they were like the cheaters of the community. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. You see, we got to get this. We got to get this when we're praying. What are you praying about? Are you praying God's word? Are you praying that God will knock people out of things and kill them? Just kill them, Lord. Just kill them all. You know. Oh, boy, we got to remember the words of our Christ. You know. Yes, God can kill. God will move people out of the way. I know that. Yeah. You know, but it's God that's doing it. He's the one that can give them life, and he's the one that gave them life. But our place, love your enemies, Jesus said. I know you were told that you love your neighbors and you hate your enemies. He said, but I'm telling you, love your enemies. Oh, that's a hard one. But do you pray for them? Do you lift them up? Or do you just grumble and complain and talk about them like David did in the first part of Psalm 139? Back to your lesson, it says, God always desires to give you good things. He holds nothing back because he's ignoring you or does not hear you or has no time for you. See, that's what the enemy will tell you. These are lies that the enemy will tell you about God. Remember, God did not withhold his beloved son from you. The scriptures declare, he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? That's Romans 8:32. So if God says no, thank him for the protection. Because he's protecting you and he's loving you when he says no. Sometimes you don't know what you're asking for, but God knows. Mm-hmm. The next one of your lessons says, God says yes to our prayers as much as he can, sometimes in varying ways and over time. Have you ever forgotten something you prayed for only to recall years later that God answered your prayers with a yes? I've done that. I'm like, man, you answered that prayer. I forgot I prayed about that. And boy, you did that. You answered that. So let's go over some of the yeses, and we'll hit on the no's again in a little bit. But on your lesson, it says, in general terms, God's answers to prayer form up under five different types of answers. Number one, yes immediately. We love that one. We love that one. Even before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And that's Isaiah 64:24. Sometimes when we pray, our request is exactly in line with his will and with his timing. And his answer arrives on the spot. And that's from our book. God knows what you need, when you need it, and even before you know that you need it. He already knows it. He is the Alpha, the beginning of you, and the Omega, the end of your time on earth. He knows everything you need. He is already making and has made preparations for the things you will need. God is simply not bound by time. And that's what we got to get. We think, oh, it's got to happen now. It's got to happen tomorrow. The meeting is tomorrow. The meeting, it's 8:55. And he's not, it hasn't happened yet. God is not bound by time. God will answer in his perfect timing. Not the corporation's perfect timing or not anybody else's perfect timing. God is not bound by time. He can step out of time and space. He may start answering a request 10 years before you even pray it. Y'all don't believe that, but let me tell you the story of Abraham. See the story of Abraham's servant when he was sent to find a wife for Isaac. His prayer was, grant me success today, because this is the time when Isaac is grown and he needs a wife, and Abraham has sent me, and Lord, give me success today. He knew this was the time. And that's in Genesis 24:12. And God answered his request immediately, because God was already putting Isaac's wife in place, because God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac's father, many, many years ago. And he began making that promise true before Isaac was even born. God told Abraham in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 17, 1 through 5. I'm just going to read it for you. He said, Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him again and said, I am God all-powerful. If you obey me and do what is right, I will keep my solemn promise to you and give you more descendants than can be counted. Abram bowed his face to the ground, and God said, I promise that you will be the father of many nations. So God already started preparing Isaac's wife, because Isaac needs a wife in order to grow a nation. You know, so God already started. There are things that God promises you he's already working on. You haven't even prayed for it yet. But he's made promises to you, and he's like, I'm already working. I'm down the road. So when you get there and you're saying, God, I need it today, he's like, it's already done. Oh, it'll happen. It'll happen because I promised you I would do it. And when God has made you a promise, Abraham, do you get, he was 99 years old. 99 years old. God is not bound by time, folks. See, we're bound by time, but God's not bound by time. And I think that was so amazing. You know, I think, I honestly believe God did all of this on purpose. He waited until he was 99 and still hadn't answered the promise yet. Sarah, 90 years old? Still. And I believe God does that on purpose, because he's building trust. He's building trust. So sometimes the answer comes immediately when the timing is right and everything's in place, as in this case. So yes, immediately can be an answer to prayer. And number two. Yes. As I said, he is not bound by time, and he can even pull us out of time, you know, if he wants to. God does what he wills and what he wants to do, you know. Amen. So thank you for that, Virginia. So number two, yes, in due time. Okay, this is a little more difficult. A delay should not be interpreted as denial. That's from our book. God's timing is always right. And his timing does more for us than we could have imagined. Because of the delay in answering Zechariah's prayer for a child, as recorded in Luke 1, he was the father of not only a son, but the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist. Boy, you know, what a proud daddy he probably was, even in heaven. I was John the Baptist's dad, but they had to wait. He and his wife had to wait. They were old too, waiting and waiting and waiting. But when the fullness of time had come and it was time for the Messiah to be born, he was chosen to be the father of the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist. Your lesson says, because of the delay of Joseph's prayer for release from prison, as recorded in the book of Genesis, he was not only released from prison, but he became second in command in Egypt and was strategically placed to save the nation of Israel from famine. See, sitting in prison, feeling sorry for himself. You know, first my brothers betrayed me and sold me into slavery. And then I work in a house, and then I'm put in prison because of Potiphar's wife. And here I'm sitting in prison. And the baker got out, and, you know, I think one of them was killed. The baker and the butcher, one of the two people that Pharaoh's household that were in there. And they got out, Lord, and here I sit, and they have forgotten about me. But when the time was just right, oh, man, the cupbearer, I think it was the cupbearer, spoke up. The cupbearer spoke up and says, I know a man who can interpret dreams, because he interpreted their dreams when they were in prison. I know a man. And Joseph came in there at the right time, interpreted that dream, and became second in command. See, folks, if you wait, oh my God, I'm getting excited. If you wait on God, it seems like everybody's passing you by, and it looks like God has forgotten you. God has not. Don't let the enemy tell you God has forgotten you. Stay on assignment.
That's right.
Stay on your assignment.
Amen.
Keep doing what God has told you to do. Well, I'm not getting any exposure, and I'm not getting any, nobody sees what I'm, keep on your assignment. God is working something. He was working something in Joseph in that prison. Trust. Trust me, Joseph. I see you. I haven't forgotten you. And because Joseph stayed, well, he had no choice at that point, but when the fullness of time had come, he was strategically placed to save the nation of Israel. And this is the nation in which the Christ would be born, the Christ that would save the world. Can you see? Oh my goodness. Just how God will put people in places. He'll put you in places and you didn't expect to be there. I know he wasn't expecting to go all the way from prison to Pharaoh's second in command in a matter of a day. But that's exactly what happened to Joseph. There are things that are bigger than us getting what we want when we want it. And that's what you've got to know. If God got you waiting, it's because there are things that are bigger than you. Getting what you want when you want it. So wait on the Lord. And you'll be blessed. Joseph was blessed. For the rest of his days, he was blessed. I mean, his people went through trouble down the road, but Joseph, oh, the rest of his life was blessed. He had children. He lived in luxury for the rest of his life. After going through all that he went through, oh, he was able to do what the Lord, and he stayed faithful to God, see. Even though he was in prison, and no, he couldn't get out of prison, but he certainly didn't have to stay faithful to God in his heart, but he did. He stayed faithful to God in his heart. And when the fullness of time had come, he was able to save the nation. Your lesson says, finally, as we pray for Christ to come. Oh, boy, I love this part. Oh, we pray for him to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, we pray. As we wait, many are brought into the kingdom of God so that all that can be saved will be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, I know you say, Jesus, I just wish you would come. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this world. I'm so tired of the frustrations of this life. Lord Jesus, just come. Just come. Just come. But he tarries and he waits for just one more to come. Oh, no, you don't understand. You know, Elizabeth's coming next week. And she's going to give her heart to me, so we're going to wait another week for Elizabeth. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, when the rapture does come, it's going to be God's perfect time. And Jesus said, only the Father knows when the time will come. Oh, and it will be the perfect time, because once that happens, folks, yes, the book of Revelation talks about that second coming and the second time. Yes, that's going to happen. But folks, it's not going to be like now, where the Holy Spirit is here to help us. And we have the freedom to worship. Can you imagine? Oh, man, millions of people disappearing from the earth, maybe even a billion or so disappearing from the earth, and what it's going to do to the planet. You know, and you see all these movies. They've got so many movies out there and so many scenarios on how it would take place and how the people left behind would behave and react. And in many cases, they're showing how there will be a total rejection of the Word of God and of the Bible, you know, because the Antichrist is going to come to power and all the things that it talks about. Folks, you're not going to be able to do what you're doing now, you know, sitting in this beautiful church, you know, out in the open. you know, reading your word and praising and worship. It's going to be a different world. So we wait. We wait for the others to come. We wait for as many that can be saved that they will be saved, because no one knows the perfect time except the Father. That's what Jesus said. So yes is the answer, in due time. Oh, he said, and surely I come quickly. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible talks about. And it'll be done. Oh, folks, and what the sorrow that would be on this world. So we wait. We wait for Christ to come, praying that he comes at the right time. So yes, the number three says yes, so you will learn from it. Let's talk about this one. Let's unpack this one for a minute. Sometimes we ask for things that will decrease the quality of our lives, both physically and spiritually. We ask, let me just read. In our short-sighted desires, we ask and even plead for things or people that will eventually harm or stifle our destiny in God. You know they don't believe what you believe. You know. And ladies, everybody, all the ladies in here, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you love Brother Man. You want Brother Man. But sometimes Brother Man ain't loving Jesus, and you know that. But he's nice to me, and he's, we gotta, oh. Folks, I'm telling you, sometimes God will say, okay. I had a friend of mine, he said, God told me I could have this one or this one. But this one I'll have to wait for. This one I can have now, but I'll be sorry. And thank you, Jesus. She waited. She waited on the husband God had for her. Yeah. And she's blessed today because she waited on that one. So we have to not be short-sighted. We plead and ask for things that will stifle our destiny in God. And the story, example of this is in 1 Samuel 8:18. It depicts the story of the people of Israel pleading to the prophet for a king. Although they were warned by God about what a king would do to them and their families, they continued to demand a king. They wanted to be like other nations and have a human king. I mean, can you imagine God being your king? But you are demanding a human king. I want a king I can see. I want a king. We want a king because the Amalekites got a king and the Jebusites have a king. Why can't we have a king? After all God had done for them, brought them through the desert with miracles after miracles, but yet they wanted a human king and they asked for that. Your lesson says God allowed them to have a king and they suffered the consequences for their decision. Wow, such consequences are worse when the thing or the person you want is a leader or someone that is tied to your life in such a way that they affect your whole life and your family. Oh, well, folks, we gotta stay under his covering. A poor leader will stifle your growth. A poor choice of house guests may endanger your whole family, even though the choice was made with the best of intentions. Pray and hear God in all matters. Folks, I'm telling you, sometimes things people can pull at your heartstrings and stuff, but pray. Pray and make sure that you're in line with the Word of God. There's a lot of deceivers out there. There's a lot of people that will look to you, especially if they know you're a believer. They look to you to pull on your heartstrings to get certain things, you know. But be careful as you pray and ask God for wisdom on what to do. Sometimes it could even be a family member. Sometimes God is trying to do something in their life and you're in the way. Because you keep rescuing and you keep rescuing and you keep, and God is like, I'm trying to do something in their life. I'm trying to answer the prayer that you prayed for them, but you won't get out of the way. And sometimes God will tell you to get out of the way. He told me that, get out of the way. Stop talking. Stop preaching. You know, get out of the way and let me work. If they hit bottom, they hit bottom. But I've got them. I'll spare their life. Their lives will be spared, but they're going to have to go through some things. You know, oh, folks, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, because sometimes God will say yes so you can learn from this, because you won't listen, so you're going to have to walk through this on this journey. Be inspired by the Holy Spirit and not your emotions. Oh, that's a hard one. I know that hits you right between the eyes, because our emotions can overwhelm us, and so many times we humans, we act in our emotions. We're all emotional. We're angry. We're mad. We just go at it. And the Holy Spirit is shoved in the back of us. We should pray as Jesus did, feeling freely adding to our prayers this statement, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And you guys know this, Luke 22:42, when he was facing crucifixion and he was in the garden, and boy, that human part of him was like, "Lord, Father, if there's be any will, if we can do this another way, if we can do this another way." Remember, he was praying and he was sweating blood. I mean, capillaries were bursting because he could see, he knew what was coming. He knew he was about to be sacrificed and beaten and whipped and humiliated, and all these things were about to happen to him. You know, I mean, forget the pain, just the mental anguish of going through something like that and being nailed and put up to a cross, and these words came out of his mouth, you know, "If there be any way, Father, let it pass." And then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." I was listening to this song, "Thy Will Be Done." That, I don't know if you guys heard that song that was playing. We came, "Thy Will Be Done, Thy Will Be Done." And she said, and she says the song, "I know you're good, but this don't feel good." It's one of the lines in the song. And I'm like, I feel you. I know you're good, but this don't feel good right now. You know, she goes, "But Thy will be done." And she says, "I have to remember that you are God and I am not. Therefore, Thy will be done." It's a beautiful song by Hillary Scott. Beautiful song that she sings, and that song just blesses me. "Thy will be done." And so we've got to pray like Jesus prayed. Nevertheless, as hard as this is, "Thy will be done." So sometimes God will say yes and let you have things, so you can learn from it. And then we get back to the no's again. No, because your heart's not right. Ooh, wow, ouch. This is a hard one to swallow, because it's hard to admit that our heart isn't right, that our motives are wrong. This is especially true when we are emotional about what we are requesting. Humans throughout history have rationalized and justified many things that were against the will and the ways of God, but prayed anyways for them to occur. Hallelujah. The scriptures teach us, "They will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Hallelujah. Did not choose the word of the Lord, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They chose to do what they wanted to. Many times people will close their heart to the word of God as they pray for what they want. You know, and you've got to be careful, because it can happen to us in an instant. We get emotional, something happens, and we get into our emotions, and we pray for things that are not lined up with the word of God. Your lesson says the true condition of their heart stood between their request for help and its arrival. That's from our book. Do you disagree with the knowledge and the word of God? ? Do you disagree with the word of God and the knowledge of God? And that's a personal question. You disagree with it. "I don't want to love my enemies. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to answer that. I don't want to do this." So you got to ask yourself, am I disagreeing with you, God, right now? You can be honest. David was. Be honest. "I hate them with a perfect hatred, and I am not ready to pray." And sometimes we have to pray with Andrew. Remember Andrew Murray? I love our Andrew Murray, the study that we did years ago. And he said, "Lord, I am willing that you make me willing." I love that prayer. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling any warm fuzzies for this person. "I hate them with a perfect hatred, but Lord, I am willing that you make me willing. I'm willing that you change my heart. But I'm being honest, I don't feel it now." So that's the prayer that you can pray, if you can just form your words, because you can just say it. It's just an act of your will to even pray that prayer. It's an act of your will. And again, because you were born in sin, the word of God will often go against your true heart, your motives, and your pride. There it is again. because we were born in sin, often the word of God is going to go against us because of how we are and what we were born in. So you've got to face that, what your motives are when you pray. Is it because you're being prideful? The next point of your lesson says, when you are ready to listen and repent, the situation can change. When you choose to trust God's knows, you are making progress in receiving his knowledge over your own. When you're accepting the knows, God said no. God said not this time. God said I needed more time to just stay before him and not be in that spotlight that I wanted to be in. And I trust God. Lord, I thank you because, boy, and you know, I have a real dear friend that she was saying that she wanted something and it didn't happen. And she said, but I trust God. I you know, I kind of felt I just really needed more time before the Lord before I received that I wanted it so bad. But I trust God when he said no to that. It didn't happen for me. And boy, you are really growing up. And you're really coming to a higher level in the Lord when you can trust his nose. When he says, not right now. When you choose to submit your emotions to the cross, you are on your way to greater understanding and better praying. Hallelujah. The effectual, fervent prayer that avails much. Oh, my goodness. You want to get there? You want to get there. You want the power of God moving in your life. You want to fall on your knees. I remember I told you guys that story about the history of this man called Praying Hyde. He had such a, his last name was Hyde. I can't remember. John Hyde was his name. And I'm telling you, he was amazing. This man was so full of the power of God that a man was describing praying with him. And he said, we were going to pray in his room. We went to his room. He immediately dropped on his knees, and he said the power of God filled that room so quickly, I could barely stand up. Can you imagine? But that's how intimate this man was with God, and they called him, they nicknamed him Praying Hyde because he was a powerhouse when it came to praying. Wouldn't you want to be like that? I read that. I said, God, I would love to have that kind of relationship with you. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. And when I come to prayer, I'm just on my knees and Lord, thy will be done. I'm not praying my agenda. I'm praying your agenda. And let your will be done. And let your kingdom come. But you have to be ready to, if you want to be that person that has the effectual and fervent prayer. Oh, that avails much, then you have to be that righteous man it talks about. A righteous woman it talks about. That's in James 5:16. Your emotions must be submitted to God. They must be submitted to God because I'm going to tell you folks, often they are wrong when it comes before God. I'm telling you, often your emotions are wrong. Both good and evil emotions can be against the will of God. And you got to get that. Both good and evil emotions can be against the will of God. Feeling sorry for someone who wants to practice sin. We want to feel sorry, oh, just let it go. Just and never speak the truth, never. I mean, I'm not saying beat them with the Bible, but you're endorsing it. I'm just going to endorse it because, oh, I just feel sorry for them. They tried and tried, and I'm just going to, got to stand. I love you, you know, but I have to stand with my Lord on this. You know, we got to get that. You know, not let our heart pull us into endorsing sin. You know, we have to stand our ground. I love you, but I can't endorse that. Always hear God and his word above everybody else. Above everybody else. There are people that will egg you on. You know, even friends. You know, people that love you and care for you, they egg you on. I wouldn't let her get away with that. Oh, you need to. Oh, you. Ooh. I wouldn't take that. Oh, she told you. You know what I mean. You know, they're saying all this stuff to you to make you angry and to make you act out. And sometimes people are watching and you're embarrassed. What are you going to do? You stand with God. Don't let your emotions justify you. Well, they embarrassed me, therefore I laid into them and I did this and I did that. Oh, stand with God. Always I don't care if it's a child. Stand with God. Sometimes God is trying to minister something to children. And because you're the adult, sometimes we act in a certain way toward children. When God is saying, look deeper to what this child needs right now. They don't need you to come at them like that. What does the child need? I know everybody's watching and people are looking on. What does this child need? Can you let me work through you to minister to this child? Oh, folks, there's so much. There's so much that we have got to get right. We have got to get right. We've got to get it right. And put ourselves on the back burner. As we say all the time, we must decrease so that he can increase. Always hear his word above everything else. Don't justify your pride because you want to be right. Humble yourself, the Bible says, before God and men. We don't like the man part. We can do the God part okay, but oh man, I gotta humble myself before my other people, my friends, my family. That's what the Word of God says. Sometimes you have to humble yourself. And you feel embarrassed and you feel hurt. Oh, but I'm telling you, Holy Ghost will come and he comforts you. And he says, I'm proud of you. You did it my way. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost will come and just comfort you for what you did. And I'm telling you, it's funny how it turns everything around. Because people will come to you later and says, wow, I was so impressed with how you handled that. You just took that. I don't know if I would have been able to do that, but you, anybody can fly off the handle. Boy, you took it. And you humbled yourself. That's the hard thing to do. That's the hard thing to do. And that's when people will come back and they want to hear what you have to say. They want to get wisdom from you. How did you do that? What were you thinking? What? Why did you let them? Oh, and you have an opportunity to minister. You have an opportunity to minister to them. The Word of God. Folks, there's countless opportunities every day if we would just walk in his way and in his will.
God will make you do something that you don't want to do.
Yes. Often, yeah. Often, he will have you do things that you don't want to do.
Yes.
I'm going to open for a comment in just a minute, okay. Virginia. Let me just finish this section because we're almost out of time. And the last part says, remember, if it is not God's will, you wouldn't want it. I got to read that again. If it's not God's will, you wouldn't want it. Not if you know all that he knows. Wow, that's from our book. I love that statement. See, you don't have all the intel. See, you just have a little bit of intel, and you want to run with it. And God has all the information. And he says, no, don't go in that cave. But it's safe. And, you know, and my friend went in the cave, so don't go in the cave. But it looks nice in the cave, and you know, we'll get off the sun in the cave. Don't go in the cave because I know there's a bear in the cave. It's way in the back, but the bear is in the cave. God knows so much more than you know. And then finally, boy, I don't know if we'll have time to get this last section done, so I'm just going to leave it right there, and we'll continue that. Not next week, but the week after, because next week we're going to hear from our substitute teacher, Rita, next week, and I'll be at the conference, the women's conference in Breckenridge, you know. So anyway, any comments?
Yeah, one thing that this is already that I have done, but God made me work with her.
Yes, he'll do that. He'll do that.
I can do this with her.
Yes.
Do what I tell you to. And so, I mean, I tried to do everything I did, messed up. I couldn't. Coffee wouldn't pour, nothing would, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay. You know. So I went up there and I said, would you help me? She looked at me, what do you want? And I said, I've got to have help. This coffee pot won't work. And she said, well, I don't care. And I said, no, come and help me. I made her come and help me. And at the same time, we was able to communicate, and everything's okay with us. But it was just that God said, no, you're not going to keep doing this. You're going to do what I tell you to. You're here for a reason. And you do what I, or else, I'll kill you if you don't, you know. Yeah. And, I mean, it took me 2 hours to fiddle with this stupid coffee pot. It took me 15 minutes after I let him go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God will set you up, okay?
He does.
Can I make an announcement? God will set you up, okay? And you'll be sitting there like, and the Holy Spirit will be right there. Okay, I'm with you. Come on, let's do this. And you're like, oh, my God, I didn't expect this. Not them. I didn't expect them to be here. So
even the outlet wasn't where I was. I had to go up.
You had to go where over where she was.
I mean, that outlet always works, but it wouldn't work.
It wasn't working today.
But yeah.
I tell you, and after it all happened, you were set free, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And she looked at me at a different angle, too, you know, like, you know, and I wasn't nasty to her. I just said, I have to have your help. I can't do this, you know. And so, you know, and then, like I said, then we got to discuss it. And she wasn't as bad as I thought she was.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And the enemy will whisper. Oh, he loves division.
Oh, they
he
love
loves
this,
division, so he's always keeping you away. And when there's a coming together and forgiveness is taking place and healing is taking place, boy, enemy hates that, you know, and all that stuff is dissipating.
She lied about me. I didn't lie about her. She lied about me, and that my prize that I'm not going to stand for that. You know, I'll get even this way. You know?
Yes.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. You're going to love her, and you're going to bring her a cup of coffee this morning. What? Yes, you are. That's exactly what the Lord will do.
All I know is when she left, she said, well, when do you work again? And I said, well, I'll see you then. I said, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I should stare and glare at each other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, God works in mysterious ways.
He does. He does. He's always.
And then when I got through, I just started laughing to myself. How did you do that?
Yeah. He knows. He knows. And he knows the perfect time to do it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Nobody has any stories. Come here.
I was just going to, you know, God has said no to me, but I understand now why, and I'm, you know, happy with it now. Mm-hmm. But one of the no's is, you know, when I wanted children, and there was a no there. I didn't have any children, but I find him to be better than even 10 sons.
Yes.
And then going, I mean, through divorce or through separation, I prayed hard that our marriage would be reconciled.
Yeah.
And there was a no there.
Yeah.
But I have an intimacy with my Lord that not even a man could touch, you know. And
Amen.
I'm grateful for that relationship.
Amen. Absolutely.
I've also prayed healing for two of my sisters who, you know, with the cancer. They were not healed, but the Lord healed me from that. And their children, they now, you know, they call me, and I'm able to just be there for them too. But yeah, just a lot of growth, lot of growth in the waiting and in the praying. And no, it's okay too.
Oh, I'm telling you. And you look back, you wouldn't change a thing, would you? I wouldn't change a thing. I was talking to my sister this week about that. And I'm like, you know, I pray, because I prayed for my son Matthew. Boy, when he was little, he was a nightmare, folks. I mean, oh my goodness, he would just trash the whole house. Just every day. Every waking hour he was trashing something. And I would just be praying and praying, Lord, cure him. Lord, please give him deliverance from autism. Oh, Lord, cure him. Cure him. Oh, Lord, please do your work in Matt. Please, God. And it was just something that I prayed. And I would always, and I would sit back and I would think to myself, you know, my sister has, my oldest has 4 sons, all healthy. Uh-huh. I've got one and he has autism. I bring this before God. Why? She got 4 healthy ones, Jesus. You know, and I would just have this argument with God. But I look back and I see what he was doing. He was working a work in me, first of all. He was patience. Selfless love. I mean, so many things he was working in me as an individual, you know, and what he had for me to do in the future. He said, you know, you don't see the whole picture. I see what I've got for you down the road, and this training is necessary. And that's what it was. Training. It was training. God is, he's, don't think it's empty time, folks. He is training you. He is working you. He's doing a work in your life. And sometimes the answer is like no or not yet. I don't know if Matthew will ever be healed, but God knows he's much better than he used to be. But God is always.
What I'm saying.
So am I. So amen. So am I. I'm so much better than the person I used to be, and I wouldn't change a thing. I would not change a thing. I love my Matt, as my buddy. I call him. I said, love my buddy. Thank you, Lord, for my buddy. I just thank God for him all the time. And Lord, what you did in my life because of him, you know, and how you changed me because of him. I was telling my sister, we were talking about temperaments. We always talk about temperaments and the choleric temperament, that powerful, driven temperament that some people are. And I was telling her, yeah, my sister, I'm like that, and my sister's like that. And she's going through some stuff right now, too, where she can't get out and work and stuff. And I said, Lynn, you know, something you got to understand about cholerics. I said, God has got to shut us down in order to talk to us, because he's trying, and we're just, but we're just all over the place. I said, so sometimes he's got to shut us down so we'll listen. So that's what he did to me in a certain extent. He shut me down. So I'm like, I'm sitting at home. I can't go anywhere because I can't take Matt any. I just got to stay home. But boy, he was able to talk to me. Virginia said he cut her legs off. But that's what he does. Because he loved me too much to let me stay like that.
Amen.
Just busy and mean-spirited and impatient and, you know. And God says, I'm going to shut you down so we can talk to you. Because I can't talk to you unless I shut you down and speak to you. And my sister was saying the same thing. She goes, I look back. She goes, I was a mess. I'm like, yeah, you were. We didn't want to tell you at the time, but you were. And she goes, I was a mess. And what God has done in me has been so amazing. I said, you know, Lynn, treasure this time, because you're going to look back at this season and you're going to thank God what he has done in you. Oh, so guys, I'm telling you, he's always working. He's all, whatever season you're in, whether you're in the waiting season, whether you're in the blessing season, whatever season. Rose is in the waiting season. It's a precious season, Rose. It's a precious season, and it's not empty time. He's doing a work. He's doing a work.
God always there. Always there. He sustains you and everything. He's an amazing God. And
he's amazing.
Give him faith. I give my faith. He's been really, really good.
He will take care of you. He will sustain you. Same my sister. She said, I can't believe how God is sustaining me.
Well, you see, people, you know. I always do that. Sometimes I talk to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm faithful. And I keep my faith. I read your word. I pray every day. You know, and you always kind of like, so, you know, the relationship of intimacy with him, and you know, sometimes, you know, God, sometimes you're funny, you know, he shows these little blessings too, and he's really amazing. He's really,
what he does in us, I tell you.
What he does is just amazes me.
It's so intimate and so personal. Mm-hmm. There's some things that's just between me and God, only he knew about it. And only and he ministers to even that thing that only you know about you. But he ministers to even that, your fears that you never tell anybody about. You know, your hopes that you never tell anybody about. God ministers to even that part of you. You may put on a facade and a face for the rest of us, but God knows you. And he'll minister to those things, those fears and those anxieties. Oh, as David said, look at my anxieties, Lord. Oh, Lord, and help me in that area. So God is good. And when again, he hears every prayer request.
You promise.
He hears it. Yes. Yeah, he hears every request. Yes.
Your word is true. Your promise is true.
So amen. Always, always true. Anybody else before we close in prayer?
Just one more thing.
One more thing.
Where we're saying, where we're to pray for our enemies, love our enemies, pray for our enemies. The end of that verse says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We know that the perfection is maturity.
Yes.
So I just paraphrase. I say be mature in your prayers and pray God's heart for whatever God would be praying.
That's good. I didn't know that interpretation, but she's saying perfect is mature. Mm-hmm. Be mature as your Father's mature.
That devotional about effective prayer. Mm-hmm. And remember the acronym PRAY?
Yes, yeah.
It actually is my in the devotion. I sent it to you. I don't know if anybody wants me to send it to them, but it tells you everything, what the scriptures and everything that you're going to pray and everything.
Yes.
It's really awesome.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, we can make it into a handout maybe for the, put it on the table.
Oh, I can
a handout. And that way we can have it just to put in our notes and stuff. So, anybody else before we pray? Oh, Lord, we just thank you.
And that's why it takes all day long to be in prayer. You know, not 5 minutes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Pray without ceasing. Yeah. Pray without ceasing. I'm understanding what that means. Because always. Yeah. Father, we just thank you. And yes, Lord, we say always. Always, Lord God. We submit ourselves to you, Lord God. Father, we're learning. Lord, we're learning your word. We're learning, Lord God, how to put your word above everything else, Lord God. Father, I pray that even this week, as we go into this week, we'll learn, Lord, how to submit our emotions to the cross, Lord God. Oh, Father, that you can minister through us, Lord God. Lord, we are learning that many times, those times of stresses are times of ministry with other people. So, Lord, I pray that we will be your children. Oh, Lord, we would be the children of our Father, Lord God, as we love our enemies, Lord God, as we pray for them that persecute us, Lord God, that we love those that may not love us back, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would give us your strength, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we know we can't do it just by our willpower. We know we need the Holy Spirit to come, Lord God, and move in us, Lord. I pray, Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, move in each and every person in here. Holy Ghost, baptize them, oh, by your Holy Spirit, so that we can move thereby in your Spirit, Lord. I pray you bring your word back to our remembrance when the time is needed, Lord, and that we would act in your word and not in our emotions and not in our opinions. Oh, God, and please don't let us act in our pride. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we submit ourselves to you. And I say it again, Lord, I pray you would increase and we would decrease, Lord, continually. Be our prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name and we expect your movement in our lives this week. Oh, Lord, we expect the ministry. We expect to hear the testimonies of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.